Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says the Ebola outbreak in West Africa seems to be slowing. The epidemic killed more than 8,000 people in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone combined since it appeared in the region more than a year ago. Medical professionals, health workers, and communities have worked tirelessly to ensure that the disease does not spread any further. A trial of experimental Ebola vaccine is underway in Liberia, and scientists say it could be a turning point in the fight against the deadly virus, which has no known cure. But despite apparent progress, observers warn more remain to be done. And we will discuss the latest on the Ebola outbreak with our guest today, Rosa Crestani. She's Ebola Task Force Coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders. Ms. Crestani, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
It's good to have you joining us today.
Welcome.
Let me remind our listeners, if you would like to participate in the show with your question or comment, you can call us at 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1, and you can ask the international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your questions at healthchat@voanews.com, and we'll make sure that we do read them on air. So we will discuss the topic in a second. But first, the Red Cross warns that complacency could lead to preventable death in the Ebola crisis. And VOA's reporter Lisa Schlein has the story.
For the first time since June, the World Health Organization said fewer than 100 new cases of Ebola were confirmed over 1 week in the countries most affected by the epidemic, Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. This is certainly good news, but the International Red Cross Federation is warning against a false sense of security. The head of the agency's Ebola Coordination and Support Unit, Beert Hald, says the epidemic is far from finished.
It's really important that we keep the attention on this problem, otherwise we will risk that it becomes endemic. It's clear also we are at a stage where some of the curves are bending, but they may flare up again, so it's really too early. But we need also to start thinking about how to support recovery, especially recovery within the health sector and structures, because weak health structures were actually the main reason why the epidemic was able to spread the way it spread in those particular three countries.
Hall says cases of Ebola continue to appear in Sierra Leone and Guinea, so suggestions that the epidemic could be over as early as May must be treated with caution. She was based in Guinea for many months and notes many cases of Ebola go unreported there. She says the hostility of some communities against health workers, especially in remote areas of Guinea, remains a matter of great concern. She says Red Cross volunteers are unable to access some areas because of the resistance, which sometimes turns violent. The Red Cross has a network of 6,000 volunteers in West Africa actively involved in the Ebola response. Hald says these volunteers are well-placed to provide a rapid response to new outbreaks of the disease. She tells VOA the Red Cross is adapting its strategy to the changing course of the outbreak.
There's not so much need for treatment anymore and focus on that. And as the numbers of people dying from Ebola is going down, we will retrain our volunteers so that they can actively engage in social mobilization and contact tracing and contact finding, actually, even more active. To have a much more agile and proactive role, we will make rapid response teams that can immediately be sent out to new districts when new cases appear.
The Red Cross Federation says stopping Ebola is not enough. It says the current emergency response will produce lasting effects only if the root causes of this epidemic are tackled. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And Mrs. Crestani, again, thank you so much for joining us today. Let me ask you this. First and foremost, what is your observation on where we stand with the Ebola outbreak?
Well, I can only confirm that it's quite encouraging. In the last weeks, the number of cases are going down, and the trend is quite clear. But I confirm what was said also by our colleagues from the Federation. The outbreak is not over, and the complacency would only jeopardize all the progress made up to now. There are still gaps, critical gaps that remain there, and we are not finished with this. You know, only one case or one active chain of transmission, it can restart a problem. So we cannot stop our attention, we cannot stop our action and the pressure on activity that we are continuing to do. It's clear that in this moment, the flexibility of the actors and the activity, the changing of the activity is important. We have to focus a little bit less on bed capacity, because now bed capacity is quite okay. But there are all these other, what we call the pillars of the of the response, that they are in some way still on gaps. Especially where we are talking about stigmatization, social mobilization to decrease stigmatization or to increase surveillance capacity and contact tracing. So there are still a lot to do. I completely agree. We cannot remove the pressure. We cannot remove the pressure now, because it's now is the moment to put the major vigilance that we can to really go in the right way.
So when you talk about the fact that, of course, it seems that the cases are decreasing, new cases are decreasing. However, vigilance should remain. What should be the focus from now onward if we're talking about stopping this epidemic in May, which is what some people are hoping or at least have projected, if that's at all even possible?
But, you know, in Médecins Sans Frontières, we don't like projection, because especially in an Ebola outbreak, it's really, really difficult to understand what will happen or when will happen. Mm. We know that we are in the right track. Now, in the field, there is this decreasing of cases. Is the activity that we have to focus on now are the surveillance activity. It means try to list all of the exposed person that may become a case or a patient or not, and try to follow them for the 21 days. This is one of the major action that is the action that allow us to control the outbreak. For the moment, we cannot say that we are on outbreak control. You know, before to arrive at the zero cases, we have to control the outbreak. To control the outbreak, we need to have all our patients, they are coming from a contact list. It's not the case, for example, as WHO said, also confirmed last Sundays ago, they confirmed that only 50%, half of the cases arriving in the structures, in the Ebola treatment center, they were coming from a contact list, so they were identified. This means that there is a big work to do to try to identify all the possible exposed people that can have Ebola. We call those the chain of transmission. We still don't have control of the outbreak. So it's for this that for us it's quite difficult to have projection on zero cases situation.
So then when we look at the steps that have been taken, and MSF has been at the forefront of this outbreak from the very, very beginning, even warning that it wasn't contained at some point when people thought it was okay, it was, you know, and then we saw later on that, of course, it was not contained. It became even worse. So MSF has a lot of experience in working with Ebola outbreak, not only with this one, but the one also in the Central African region, in the DRC and other country, I believe Uganda. So what can you tell us with regards to this outbreak? What has the organization learned with this outbreak that perhaps you have not seen with past outbreaks?
But in fact, it's true that Médecins Sans Frontières, we have a lot of experiences, years, and we are always intervening in Ebola or Marburg or other kind of hemorrhagic fever. But this time was different because of the size, because of the geographical spread. What What we were aware since the beginning, since, for example, in June, I remember we called for, we were aware that this was not under control, but also before, was the fact that the spread was done in a larger area, and nobody was thinking that it was impossible to control. We were aware, we were afraid, and we called for everybody, but we really think that we hope that there will be not any more kind of this kind of outbreak and spread. But you know, the problem of the late arrival of intervention, or the little support, or the knowledge on expertise on this disease control. We really hope that now is understood, and there are much more organizations now with experience on Ebola than they were in the past. They were not present in the past. In the past, there were really few organizations knowing what to deal with an Ebola outbreak. Now we think that there are more. Perhaps we will be more ready. But we know since the beginning that in Ebola, in a country where the health system is weak, and where the health system is not supported or not able or not even having the gloves in their hospital, in their clinics, that this Ebola, this outbreak will be have catastrophic effects. And this was proven later on. You know, we will have a lot of lessons learned from this outbreak. Everyone, all organization, states, and all the intervenants. There will be for sure the time for evaluation. We know that we were late. We know that there were not enough support. We know that at a certain point, even they don't believe us when we say, take care, this is out of control. This is not possible. We cannot deal with this alone. But, okay, I think that there will be several organizations and agencies that will have even MSF, how to deal better next time.
Now, what can you tell us in terms of the incidence of the outbreak, looking at the three countries, if given that the epidemic seems to be lowering the new cases, there are fewer cases now, as we mentioned earlier. When you take it on a country by country and you try to compare, where do you think that we need to scale up, and what do we need to scale up at this point in which country?
We need to keep the attention in all the three countries, this for sure. It's, nothing is finished, neither in Liberia, where the situation is better on incidence and number of cases. This is for sure. There is very, very few patients now per week, and more or less control, but still we don't know. You know, it's a regional outbreak. We cannot consider that there are three outbreaks. There is one regional outbreak affecting three countries. This is the situation. So even if in Liberia we arrive at zero cases, this not means that we can call the outbreak close or finish, because it's a regional one. There are movement of population. So after the moment that it's only in the moment where in Guinea and in Sierra Leone, the cases will go to zero and will start to count, 21 plus 21. This is the official. In the three countries, at this moment, we will be sure that everything is finished. So the attention need to remain in all the three countries. After, each country is quite different, it's true. For example, in Guinea, we have to put more and more attention on rapid response teams, so teams that they can go in the remote area and can intervene immediately when there is one case, because one case after is an outbreak, another additional outbreak.
Okay.
And social mobilization, because if we are not doing a good and correct social mobilization, we will not come out from this resistance from the population.
Okay.
You know, behavior cannot change if the people don't believe on the change that you are proposing, okay, or don't understand this, or because they are too much afraid. If we are not able to decrease this fear, we will not have their support. Okay. And this is quite impossible to have to stop an outbreak without the support of the population. They are affected. They will help us, and they will be the first concern to stop this outbreak. But it's our job to do a better social mobilization and to decrease their fear.
Okay.
In Sierra Leone, there are still several hotspots also, and all the pillars are important in this moment. There is still the outbreak ongoing. It's regional. We cannot sleep on this, not mm-hmm. now.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, Mrs. Krishnani, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion and to see where we are and what needs to be done to end once and for all this Ebola outbreak. So don't go away. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Rosa Krishnani, Ebola Task Force Coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières. We'll be right back.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this, whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back to Health Chat. My name is Lenore, and we are discussing the latest on the Ebola outbreak, where we are and where we need to go, what needs to be done. Our guest is Rosa Krishnani, Ebola Task Force Coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières. Before we continue our discussion, as the Ebola epidemic begins to show signs of ebbing in West Africa, some treatment units have begun shutting down or downsizing. It is a hopeful sign, but it also has raised questions about what to do with this infrastructure once the epidemic is over. Can it be maintained or repurposed, or must it be destroyed? And Ms. Krishnani, I will ask your comment on this. But let's listen to the report from Jennifer Lasuta, VOA's investigator reporter in West Africa. She's reporting from
the height of the Ebola epidemic, aid groups couldn't build Ebola treatment units, or ETUs, fast enough to isolate patients. Now, some ETUs in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone are sitting empty, their futures uncertain.
The short answer is there is no plan.
Damien Quealy is the Deputy Regional Director of Programs for Plan International.
There's a lot of discussions going on at government levels around what should be done with the centres. From a plan perspective, we see there's an opportunity to reinforce the whole primary healthcare services in country, especially the community care centres, where there's structures available that can support midwifery, they can support other potential epidemic illnesses like Lassa fever, TB, leprosy, and it's kind of contagious.
But he said many of the units are quite large and would be expensive to maintain. Some people may also be afraid to go to a former Ebola treatment unit, no matter how many times it has been cleaned. Other ETUs weren't built to last. They are tented structures made of plastic sheeting. The chlorine solution used to disinfect them is quite corrosive. The Liberian government has started decommissioning its once brimming ETUs in the capital Monrovia and surrounding Monserrato County. Doctors Without Borders downsized its LWA 3 ETU in Monrovia from 250 beds to 60. It was the largest ETU ever built. But this outbreak isn't over yet, says International Medical Corps Regional Director Sean Casey.
The reality now in West Africa is that Ebola exists in the animal population and there is still active transmission happening. So it's important that we still have Ebola treatment units as long as there are active cases, and then beyond that.
The epidemic began in Guinea in late 2013. Ebola began to surge in Liberia and Sierra Leone in June. Global response didn't really ramp up until September, as images of sick Liberians dying in the streets hit the international media. But it took time to construct ETUs, and some were only recently completed, even as the need was dropping off sharply. Some have criticized this as wasteful. Aid workers disagree. Tariq Ribol is Oxfam's humanitarian program manager for Ebola response in Liberia.
No one has ever seen an epidemic of this proportion. I think we need to be quite generous also with all of us working on the response in terms of both overestimating and underestimating. No one was fully expecting the surge of cases, and also almost no one predicted the descent, which has been far more rapid than any of us would have hoped for. Of course, there was an excess capacity now because the lag time it takes to put things in place.
Over the course of the outbreak, thousands of people in the affected countries have been trained on Ebola patient care, safe burials, and sanitation. Experts say those human resources are the most important to preserve. Plan International's Quili.
It's important that they maintain that level of training and refresher training on on an annual or biannual basis to ensure the health staff remember all the safety protocols.
The hope is that these countries will never again need ETUs with hundreds of beds each, and that reaction to future outbreaks will be swift and effective. Jennifer Lazuda for VOA News, Dakar.
And that was VOA's reporter, Jennifer Lazuda. Ms. Cristani, what should be done with these treatment centers?
Well, it's depending on for the period that we are talking about. So for the moment, the Ebola is not finished and is still not under control, so we cannot be so rushing on closing down everything. This is clear. For this time, it's for sure is as we did, and we are ready decommissioning part of Elwa 3. We are now reducing to 30 beds, even from 60 to 30 this week. And in other countries, like in Sierra Leone, we are closing down two ETU and transform this on a transit, smaller structure. During this time, it's really necessary to rationalize the bed capacity to be sure that there are at least one structure available per district that can have a number of beds available for the small number of cases, and to be sure that in case there is an increase of cases somewhere, there is the capacity to react immediately, means in 24 hours. For example, the Elwa 3 structure is 30 beds. Now we have only one patient inside, but if tomorrow something happens, we can come back on 60 or even 120 beds in 24 hours. So this is a necessary flexibility that we have to maintain. In this moment, this is the situation. After in MSF, we don't really think that it's necessary to continue to open or to finish or to continue to maintain a structure that they are really not necessary. So this is in each country, an evaluation needs to be done where a structure can be closed or can be shut down. Decommission means partially some material need to be burned, other can be disinfected and stored. After, if we are talking about the post-Ebola and what to do with all those structures that will remain,
yes.
Well, an Ebola outbreak is not an earthquake. It's not destroying structures. And we have to take into consideration that it's important for us, for MSF, it's really important to think about the resuming of all those services. There are health staff that they have to come back to their job, and that they are working, they are still working now in Ebola structures, and they are still completely out of their facilities, that they have to come back to work, and they have to be helped on coming back in structure that they are better than they were before Ebola. Otherwise, we will come back on the same problem next time. So there are those structures, the majority of those structures are really difficult to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
They are not built on concrete. They are mostly on plastic sheeting or tents. They have a life, a long life that is quite short. And who will be working inside if we need the same staff to coming back to the normal health system. And I think that it's really important to avoid to keep structures that if they are not necessary, especially if we have to talk about national staff and local staff, mm-hmm. that they can come back in their structures and we can try to support them in their structure with infection control measure, training, surveillance that need to be maintained.
So let's talk about a different aspect. In the latest development, presently a trial of experimental Ebola vaccine is underway in Liberia and will be also conducted. It's said to be conducted in Sierra Leone and Guinea. What do you make of this new development? Why? One of the questions that I always ask is Ebola was discovered, at least identified, in 1976. What took so long before developing a vaccine? What do you make of it after more than 8,000 people have died? Now there is a vaccine in development.
There are several vaccines in development.
Yes.
And, okay, knowing why it takes 20 years to arrive at this stage and why now, okay, we cannot know. It's quite difficult. We know that it takes normally 10 to 12 years to find a vaccine and to test and to put on ground and to be sure that it's effective, safe, and etc. So it takes time. It's clear that this outbreak at least have the positivity to speed up all those research and to have some vaccines that are experimental right now,
yes.
and not yet proved to be effective. We really are happy if those trials will be really possible and will have results, and to try to find one of those vaccines is really efficient and can be used in Africa. We don't know if it will be possible to have result this time. It's depending on number of cases, you know. When you do
yes.
a trial, you need number of cases, patients, and it can take 2 months, 3 months, 6 months before a trial is finished. So we don't know if those vaccines that just start, from what I know, just start yesterday in Liberia
yes.
and it's not yet started in Sierra Leone and Guinea.
Yeah.
But we don't know if they will be available for this outbreak. But for sure, okay, in the other hand, we hope that for next time we will have much better reaction and already something available.
Okay.
And this is our hope.
I guess one of the questions also that has been raised is the fact that if we are talking about vaccine, are we equally looking at treatment? Because when we look at the how many people have died, they would need more treatment than they would need vaccine, of course, to save their lives. But prevention is always better. So at some point, should it be wise, or perhaps it's also in the works when we're looking at treatment. But that's, I don't know if you want to comment on that. Or before we finish, if you have any final words before we wrap up in 10 seconds.
Well, for the trial of medical drugs, there are some already ongoing. So we really hope that there will be a result before the end of the outbreak, but
okay.
We are not sure on this.
Okay.
So trials of medicine are already ongoing since end of December.
Okay.
But not yet results on this.
Okay,
so,
great. Yes. Well, Rosa Crostani, thank you so much for joining us today.
Welcome.
Great. And that was Rosa Crostani, Ebola Task Force Coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctor Without Borders. We thank you for joining us today on this edition of Health Chat. Stay connected on our email, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Health Chat, and keep the conversation going. I'm your host, Lino Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Bungani. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.